We're privileged tonight to have David Hall. He and his wife pastor Revival City Church in Adelaide, South Australia. He is the state superintendent for the Assemblies of God there in Australia. He travels in the world preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He especially wants to see the moving of the power of the Holy Spirit and everything, and we're privileged to have him. He is a well-known speaker worldwide, and of course we don't know him here in the States that much, but all over the world he's known. And so I want you to give a good rhema welcome to David Hall.
Come on, let's give Jesus a shout in the house. What a mighty God we serve. Do you love him tonight? Are you glad you're in church on a Wednesday night? You know, it's a real Christian that goes to church on a Wednesday night. I mean, anyone can go on Sunday, but the real ones go on Wednesday night. And I'm believing that we'll see a bit of power in the hour of power tonight. It is I just can't even put into words just what a privilege it is to preach here in this church. This is not just your average local church. You have started fires all over the world, and you've sent pastors and leaders and trained them and equipped them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I've firsthand, I preached at Rhema in South Africa just a few months ago. Tens of thousands of people in that church. And it came out of this church. Pastor Hagen said to a young couple, come to Bible college, come for free. And they've gone back and shaken South Africa. And I think it's so easy to take your church for granted, but you are under some of the greatest pastors in America here with Pastor Hagen and Miss Lynette. I honor you. Thank God for you. And it really is my privilege. I'll say this just before I preach. Again, the whole Hagen family, you guys are just such a blessing. I feel like I've made a whole lot of new friends this week. They're certainly my friends. I don't know if I'm their friend yet. And we'll find out soon enough. But I just want to say, when I was, it would have been 1994, I think, here at the church, you had a week of meetings with an evangelist by the name of Rodney Howard Brown. And I came to those meetings as a child. I sat over in that section, and he was preaching one night. Oral Roberts was here, and they prayed with each other, and it was quite a remarkable meeting. But that's not what I remember the most. And I, in no way do I want to be uncouth or say anything silly, but I had to go to the bathroom during the service. So I waited for the right time. I went to the bathroom, and I come walking back. And before I could get to my seat, the pastor who was preaching, Pastor Rodney, he stops, he points at me, and I've just gone to the bathroom. And he goes, lift your hands to heaven. So I didn't know what was happening. So I just lifted my hands to heaven. He says, fire. Down I went under the power of God. So that's my introduction to Rhema. It's not even safe to go to the bathroom in this church. Anything could happen. But I'm believing God, the Holy Ghost, is going to touch people. I understand we've got the teenagers in the room tonight. So if you guys could behave yourselves, that would be great. It's just such a privilege to be here. If you have a Bible, would you turn with me tonight to the book of Acts? The book of Acts. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Acts. And I want to just take a moment. I ministered briefly yesterday to the college, and I was in this same passage, but I just felt the Lord put on my heart to stay in this passage. And let's have a look at Acts chapter 19 and look at the first verse. And it says this, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, Into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, somebody say, heard this. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. I love this. When they heard this, see, Paul comes to Ephesus, and there's a handful of Christians. I've got a little home fellowship group going, about 12 people. And he gets to Ephesus and he's spending time with them. He knows they're saved, but he could just sense that something was missing. He could just sense, I know you're born again. I know you love Jesus. I know you're disciples. You're on your way to heaven. But he could tell that there was something missing. Have you ever been in a Christian environment and you think there's just something missing? And we know what that something is. It's not a something. It's actually a someone. And his name's the Holy Spirit. And so Paul could just sense, he's like, I don't know if these guys are baptized in the Holy Ghost. So he asks them, he says, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you got saved? Did you get saved? Are you baptized in the Holy Ghost? They said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. It's not that they didn't know that the Holy Ghost existed. They just didn't know that they had access to the power, the presence, the person, the anointing of the Spirit of God. And you know, the crazy thing is, all over the world, there's Christians by the millions that don't know what we have. They haven't stepped into the supernatural life. And sometimes we think maybe speaking in tongues is the goal. It's actually the gateway to a supernatural life, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And Paul comes to them and he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And he gets talking to them. And the Bible says, when they heard this, what did they hear? They heard Paul talking about something that stirred their faith. They heard something. How does faith come? By hearing. He when they heard this, the Bible says, they're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Paul laid his hands on them. That's impartation. The Spirit of God from him laid hands on them. The Holy Ghost came upon them. So you've got impartation. Then you've got demonstration. That's the Holy Ghost through Paul. And then the Bible says they spoke in tongues. That's manifestation. There's impartation. There's demonstration and manifestation of the Holy Spirit happening in this moment. And the Bible says that they spoke in tongues and they got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I believe that the message of Pentecost and the message of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is so important in 2024. In a world that's losing its mind, we need Holy Ghost people in church, man. We need people that carry the supernatural, that know what it is to be anointed by the Spirit of God. That I know I'm yelling, I'm just a bit excited. This is Rhema. This is like, what do you do when you come to Rhema? You yell, you get excited, your right leg goes. Who knows, we might go for a run sometime during this message. Some of the wildest church services, I think, in modern history have happened in this church. This is not a safe conservative church. This is a wild place. This is the kind of church where anything could happen, and it probably will, you know? So Paul says, did you receive? And he lays hands on him. Spirit of God comes on them. They get baptized in the Holy Ghost. I love the baptism in the Spirit. You know, the word baptism is, when Jesus first introduced the word, it wasn't a churchy word. They weren't using that word to describe something. He borrowed a secular term to explain a biblical principle that he was about to teach them. In Aramaic, they have one word to say 10 things. In English, we have 10 words to say one thing. How are you, Dave? Okay. How you doing? Good. How you going? Fine. I've just said the same thing 3 different ways. You can, that's English. We've got 1,000 ways to say one thing, but in Bible times, language was so much more simple. So when Jesus was talking about baptism, he used this word, you'll be baptized, and they understood it, but it was a secular term. If a ship was at sea and it perished in the water, we'd say the ship sank or the ship sunk. But they didn't use those words in Bible times, they would literally say that the ship was baptized because the boat or the ship was in the water, but it's baptized because now the water is in the ship. That's what happens when you get filled with the Holy Spirit. You can come here and be in the water, but we want that water to get in you. Because when that river gets on the inside of you, you go from going to church and you start being the church. You know, there's an old, ancient Greek poem. This might sound random, but just follow me for a minute. There's an ancient Greek poem, and the poem was written in 200 AD. And the poem uses the Greek words bapto and baptizo, which are the words from which we get the word baptism. And it uses this word, but it's a poem about the process of making pickles. Do you have pickles in America? Just checking. We have those in Australia. But I didn't know that pickles were man-made. I always thought you just went to wherever you go in America, Home Depot, buy some pickle seeds, dig a hole. We don't have Home Depot in Australia. Can you get seeds at Home Depot? Get it at Walmart or Dollar Tree. I don't know. They're some of my favorite shops anyway. And so you dig a little hole and you put some seeds in the ground and you grow yourself some pickles. Well, I found out pickles, they're not biblical. You won't read in Genesis the account of creation and God made pickles and he saw that they were good. He never made pickles. Pickles are an unbiblical man-made thing. And they have, by the way, they have no business being in a cheeseburger, by the way. I just want to go on the record and say that's an absolute disgrace. Whoever came up with that ought to be ashamed of themselves. I bet you they're Presbyterian. So this poet writes about the process of making pickles. Now, did you know that pickles, they were cucumbers? And what would happen is the guy that would make the pickles would get the cucumber, or as you'd say in America, cucumber. I'm the only one in this room without an accent, by the way. All of you have an accent. I feel very, very intimidated. But they would get the cucumber and they would put it into burning hot water. And we would call that blanching. He used the word bapto in this poem. It would be in and then it would be out. And then they would take that same cucumber that's now been bapto or blanched or dipped and then put it into a jar full of vinegar. Other cucumbers are in this jar and full of vinegar that make it airtight, put a lid on it, and then they would just leave it there. And over time, the vinegar breaks through the skin and changes this cucumber from the inside out, and it becomes a pickle. Now, you say, what are you trying to tell me? Well, I'm trying to figure that out myself right now, but it's something like this, that bapto is one dip, but baptizo is staying in the jar, and we would call that saturation. And so what they would do is they'd put this pickle in this jar until it was, the cucumber into a jar until it was changed from the inside out. I don't want to just be dipped once. I want to get in that jar and be saturated until I'm changed from the inside out. I don't want to just be a stuffy old cucumber going and preaching, pickle me, Jesus. I want to be pickled. I pray you leave this place pickled. I pray you leave this place knowing that you've been filled with the power and the anointing of Almighty God. That's a baptism in the Holy Spirit. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're changed from the inside out. Do you know, it's scientifically impossible, I think, to change a pickle back to a cucumber. I know this is very deep teaching. But once you've been touched by the power of God, you can never go back. I've never met anyone, Pastor Denise, that's come up to me going, gee, I hate the fact that I can speak in tongues. anyone I know that's speaking in tongues, they're not looking for a refund, they're glad. Oh, you know, I'm so disappointed that I got filled with the Spirit. No, I've never met one person filled with the Spirit. You meet someone filled with the Spirit, they're not complaining about being filled with the Spirit. They're shouting hallelujah. They're saying, thank you, Jesus. They're saying, our God is an awesome God. Being filled with the Spirit, it changes you from the inside out. But do you know, even in a church like our churches, we can still get a bit dry. We can still get a little bit, I don't know if you use this term in America, but just a little crusty in our walk with God. And I'm judging by the giggle that you don't use that term in America, or if you do, maybe it's not the right term. I have said things by accident before. But there's reasons people, they don't get filled with the Spirit. And one we find right in this passage, number one, it's a hindrance or a reason people don't embrace this message of Pentecost. Number one, they just don't know. In this passage, it's actually a beautiful story, but in so many ways, it's sobering to think that there's people that can name the name of Jesus, and we could say to them, are you filled with the Spirit? And they would say, we didn't even know that we could be. I believe it's our job as Spirit-filled believers to proclaim the fact that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus baptizes in the Holy Ghost, and Jesus is coming again. He still baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I still believe that God baptizes people in the Holy Spirit. It might have been good for my grandfather or my grandmother or my father or my mother, but I want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost because I want my kids to speak in tongues. I want the generations to come. The Bible says this is for your children, your children's children, and all who are afar. I pray that the winds of Pentecost would blow across America again. In the name of Jesus. Can you say a good amen if you believe it tonight? We did not know. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, do not be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. In other words, don't think you know, but don't know. Paul, he talks to believers saying, you've got to know about this stuff, and you've got to believe this stuff. He'd say, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. He actually says, in one translation, he says, I speak in tongues more than, it sounds like he says, y'all. I think the Apostle Paul might have been from Texas. But he's saying, really, don't be ignorant. He's saying, don't ignore the things of the Spirit. I know in this room on a Wednesday night at Rhema, everyone believes this stuff, but there might just be somebody here. And you walk through the door, you might have thought this was a Walmart or a bass fishing shop. I mean, it's big, I understand that. But you came in here, I don't know why you wandered in here, but it wasn't a mistake. God brought you into the house. But I pray you leave this place saved and filled with the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. Another reason people miss out on the things of the Holy Spirit, a hindrance or something that can just separate people from jumping into the fullness of God's Spirit is just one little word, and that the word is if. So some people might say, I don't know. But then some people say, well, if the Holy Spirit wants to touch me, I guess he can. But the Bible says he gives the Holy Spirit, in the book of Luke, he gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Or if you're from Oklahoma, ask. From those who ask. I say ask. But those who ask. Asking's different. If I said to Pastor Denise, can I have $5? I'm demonstrating two things when I ask her that question. Number one, I think she has it. And number two, I have a sense that there would be a willingness to give it. So when we ask God, we acknowledge in our ask that he can and that he will. There was a man that came to Jesus. He says, if you are willing, you can heal me. He said, I am willing. He took the if out of the equation. I find if, faith doesn't operate in the realm of if. If is not a faith word. Faith, we use words in faith like when or now. Now faith is, you know, we're people that believe that God yeah, we're going after it in the name of Jesus. But I find sometimes people hide behind if. It can be fear that causes people to say if. It can be pride that causes people to say if. It can be apathy that causes people to say if. But faith people say right now in the name of Jesus. You know, I don't want to come to church and go, God, if you want to touch me, I want to walk in this place and go, come on, let's get ready. I need an usher behind me. I need a modesty cloth. Tonight's my night. I'm going to get touched by the anointing of the Spirit of God. But I was preaching in Boise, Idaho, which I think is in this country somewhere. And I was preaching at this church, and there was a young guy. He was the number one receiver for that year. His name's Christopher, and he was sponsored by Nike. This guy was good, and I don't really understand American football. We play a totally different kind of football in Australia. Let's not discuss which one's better, but you know, Australia's pretty amazing. Just on a side note, when the rapture happens, you know, we go 16 and a half hours before you do. I just want you to know that. So if you are, you might be going, I'm mid-trib or pre-trib. Well, I'm pre-pre-trib. You Americans are pre-trib, but I'm pre-pre-trib because I'm going 16 and a half hours earlier. I said to the college, when I do go, when that trumpet sounds, I do have a rapture plan. I'm going to grab a sinner under each arm, and when I get to 35,000 feet, I'm going to look at them and say, repent now or I'll drop you. And that's how you've got to have a plan. But this young guy, he was sponsored by Nike, full of promise and very talented football player. And he was coming to this church that I was speaking at because they had a strong young adults ministry. And so he'd come to church, but he'd been taught that a lot of what we believe is spirit-filled Pentecostals, you know, you don't need that gear. That's just emotionalism and all of this. So he liked the fellowship. But he wasn't going after the things of the Spirit. And so he comes to the service, and I'm preaching this night. This is years ago, and I'm preaching a message on Naaman, and I'm talking about him dipping in the river seven times. And I still believe in dipping in the river, by the way. I want to stay in the river. And he's sitting at the back. I didn't know any of this was happening at all. And I got told after the service, the fire of God comes on him, and he starts to shake under the power of God. So the pastor says to me, do you mind if we bring him to supper after service? I want you to talk to him about the Holy Spirit. I said, sure. And so he comes to dinner. We park our car in, I don't know what you call them here, but we'd call them like a multi-story car park, like a parking garage. And so a parking structure. Is that what you understand the concept? I'm sure you can grasp it. And so we're on like level two, right by the elevator. And so he and I, and the pastor and I and a few others, we're at dinner. We've parked our car, and we've gone to dinner. And so we're sitting there chatting, and I'm trying to talk to him about the Holy Ghost, and he keeps changing the subject. And I'm like, because that's what the pastor asked me to do. So what do you think about that? Change the subject. So I got nowhere with him until we're walking back to the car. So I thought, I've got to do it. The pastor's asked me to do it. So I said, brother, what do you think about the moving of the Holy Spirit and the touch of God? And he goes to me, he goes, well, if he wants to do it, I guess he can, but you know, I'm not looking for that. And it just came out of my mouth. I said, brother, the Holy Ghost doesn't operate in the realm of if. He operates in the realm of faith. And so we get talking, and you could feel the anointing of God start to fall. By this point, we're back in the car park. And so we just got talking. I said, how about we pray for you right now? So I put my hands on him. And I didn't expect it, because usually this kind of stuff only happens in church, not in the car park. But he starts falling back. And I thought, if he gets injured, Nike are going to sue me. I've got to keep this guy. I got to keep him standing up. So he's trying to fall back. I'm trying to keep him up, which is the opposite in church. We're trying to get people down, not in the car park. Plus, there was a big camera. And I'm a guest in this country. I don't want to get denied access to America because some guy's been slain in the car park. And so So he's falling back. I'm trying to hold him back up. So then I thought, forget it. I'm Pentecostal. Boom. He falls under the power of God. And then the next minute I start hearing out of his mouth, he gets baptized in the Holy Ghost. But while he's on the ground, this car comes past. I'm freaking out. And they looked at us. I mean, that car drove away so fast. I've never seen a car drive faster in a car park in all of my life. But can I say, if we can shift our if to faith, anything can happen in the name of Jesus, man. Oh, somebody say, tonight's my night. Say it again. Say, tonight's my night for a touch from heaven in Jesus' name. If doesn't work, we can't work with if. But then you get some people, they miss out on what the Holy Ghost wants to do, because they'll say something along the lines of, but I already speak in tongues. But speaking in tongues is not the end in itself. It's actually the gateway to the supernatural. Speaking in tongues, that's elementary. That, when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues, that's when you step in to the Spirit-filled life. And it just all begins to unfold. You start to see the gifts of the Spirit. I know you know all of this. But you start studying the life of Peter. Somebody say Peter. See, that's correct. That's how you're supposed to say it. None of this Peter. That's my best Oklahoma accent, Peter. Oh, Jesus, help me. Well, you look at the life of Peter. Jesus breathes on him. Well, that's actually blowing. Breathing's more. If you want to be, which we didn't do that at all during COVID. That was banned, but now we can do it again. Jesus breathed on him and said, receive the Holy Ghost. And we know that that was the regenerating work. But then Peter's in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, gets filled with the Holy Ghost, preaches Pentecost, has a move of God, thousands saved, the lame man's walking. And then you jump to Acts 4. Peter gets filled with the Spirit. And then he starts speaking to the Sanhedrin. And then later in Acts chapter 4, he prays for boldness and he gets filled with the Holy Spirit again. In other words, we don't just get filled once. It's a lifestyle of being refilled with the Holy Spirit. When Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5 and he says, be filled with the Holy Ghost, he's saying be being perpetually filled with the Spirit of God. I want to stay full. I want to stay full of the Holy Ghost and full of the power of God. I don't want to get to a point where I go, well, I speak in tongues. If you speak in tongues, that's definitely a sign that you've been filled with the Spirit. But I want to stay full. I wonder how your water levels are, you know. I want to stay full and overflowing with the Spirit of God. Maybe if Brother Keyboard could come. I don't know where he is. But we all know you can't have an altar call without a keyboard player. I'm joking. Being filled is not a one-time thing. Acts 3:19 talks about times of refreshing that come in the presence of the Lord. And my heart tonight is to see people get touched and be refreshed by the Spirit of God. I'll give you one more thought, and then I'm done. Another reason we miss out on the things of the Spirit is we don't yield. You know, in America, I don't know why it is, but in America, you drive on one side of the road. In Australia, we drive on the other side of the road. Now, we try to avoid mixing the two. But we drive, so your steering wheel is on the left side of the car, ours is on the right side of the car. I just think England wanted to just do the opposite to whatever America was doing. And I don't know why, but it's incredibly annoying because all the good cars have the steering wheel on the left side, so we're just driving silly cars in Australia, like Toyota Yaris. Very powerful. It doesn't even have an engine. You open the hood, it's a blender and a toaster held together with duct tape. But one thing, really, our road rules are largely the same. In America, you've got a street sign that says yield. Where I live, that same sign says give way. Now, I'll explain this. I used to listen to sermons right here. I remember Keith Moore preaching here, saying, you got to yield. And he preaches, and they'd say, you got to yield to the Holy Ghost. I never knew what that meant. So I'd sit in church trying to yield by going like, that was all I could think of. You just try to squeeze some yielding out. I don't know. And so I'm doing my driving test in Australia to get my license. And my driving instructor, he didn't know it, but he starts prophesying accidentally. I don't know if he was even a Christian, but he points to this give way sign, which in America is a yield sign. And he says, David, when you get to a red light, you stop. When you get to a stop sign, you stop. And when you get to a yield sign, that doesn't mean stop. It means if you can get into that flow of traffic without slowing it down, jump in. If you're going to slow it down, you've got to wait. If you can't find a gap, you've got to wait. In other words, he said, you've got to get into that flow and not interrupt that flow. And so I didn't really think too much about it, but I come over to America for a holiday. I came to visit one of your great Americans, Brother Mickey Mouse. And so I went and saw him, and he was great. He was pleased to see us. And so we get to Los Angeles, and I see the street sign. It's the same sign, but it doesn't say give way. It says yield. And it's like the penny dropped. It's simply, I looked at it as simply as what my driving instructor said. I've just got to make sure I get into that flow. Because there's always a flow in the Spirit. I've got to submit to what the Holy Ghost wants to do. I never want to block the flow of the Holy Ghost. Whatever the Spirit of God wants to do, I want to be in on that. Say, God, I'm yielded. I don't have to struggle. I don't have to strive. I just have to lift my hands and say, Spirit of God, have your way. Would you touch me? I'm yielded to your anointing. One touch of the anointing changes everything. And if you're hungry tonight, God wants to meet you at your point of faith. You don't have to leave this place the way you came. We yield to your Spirit. I just wonder if across the room for just a few minutes, we could all stand to our feet. Maybe lift our hands to the God of heaven and earth. Just take a minute. Talking to the oldest saint and the youngest child. Talking to the teenagers here. Every generation. We need it. Bless you. That was a good one. I felt that from up here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you're hungry, just lift your hands to Him right across the house. The Spirit of God's going to come on people. We give you thanks. Come on, let's just worship the Lord. What have you got in the jukebox there, Pastor Anthony?
Fill me up. Ah. Till I overflow, I want to run over. I want to run over. Fill me up.
Come on, let's just lift our hands and worship Him.
Till I overflow.
The Spirit of God's in the house. If you're hungry, He'll touch it. Jesus.
I want to run over.
Come on, sing it out.
Fill me up.
This gentleman right here. Just come. Stand right here. Lift your hands to heaven as you do the floor. Father, fill the house. If you're hungry, He'll fill you. In Jesus' name. This gentleman right here in the red shirt, just come. Tonight's your night. Lift your hands to heaven. Close your eyes as you do this. Jesus, we're so hungry. We're hungry for your power. We're hungry for your anointing. I want you to come. Just come. And you come. Just come. In Jesus' name. Stand right here. Lift your hands to heaven. Close your eyes. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. Comes on you right now in the name of Jesus. Filled right now. Filled right now with the anointing. Father, touch it. Just receive it. Just across the house. Just lift your hands and drink. I know you know what that means. Just let His anointing just come on you. The power of heaven, one touch. Sister in the red shirt, just come. You're looking for the other people in the red shirt. I'm talking to you. Just come. What's your name? Lift your hand where you are. It's wonderful. Touch of heaven in the name of Jesus. There's the fire of God right now. One. Power of heaven comes on you in Jesus' name. Fill right now with the anointing of heaven. If you're hungry, He'll fill you. God's in the house. There's a river. There's a river. These two, you guys are like the best dressed people in church tonight. You get, just come, Brother Suit and Sister with Brother Suit. Lift your hands to heaven. Oh, there's a river. There's an anointing from heaven. In the name of Jesus, Father, fill them right now. Filled right now with the fire of God. Filled right now. Jesus, touch them. Just receive from heaven. That's it. It'll do you good. I promise. I promise. In the name of Jesus, fill him. Fire from heaven. Fire from heaven. You don't have to leave this place the way you came, in Jesus' name. We love you, Father. Come here, Sheila. Just come. Sister Sheila, that's her real name, by the way. Just come. Stand right here. Lift your hands to heaven. God, you're so good to us. We love you, Jesus. Father, let your anointing fill her right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your anointing. Brother, class of 2023, just come. Stand right there. Lift your hands to heaven. Close your eyes as you do. There's a fire of heaven right now. Jesus' name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hello. Jesus' name. Just come, sister. Just stand right here. Lift your hands to heaven. Oh, yeah. Come, come. Come. In the name of Jesus. Not by might, not by power, but by the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, fill people right across this house. This third row right here. This third row. Can that whole row, the whole row, just come. Just come. All of you, just come. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Just lift your hands to heaven. As you do, the fire of God comes on you. You're never, sweetheart, going to be the same again. God's hands on you. You're going home different by the power of God. Right now, that's it. Feel right now. Feel right now. Feel right now. That's it. Feel right now. Feel right now. Feel right now. Feel right now. Close your eyes, sister. There it is. Power from heaven in Jesus' name. Fill it, fill it, fill it right now in Jesus' name. Fill with the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, touch it right now. I thank you, Lord. You know, if you're hungry, touch it. There's new wine. Some of you, it's been a little while. You just need to dial back in to the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, let that river flow. Sister, just step in the aisle right here. And your friend, you guys are a mischievous combination. I just can tell. Just stand there. Thanks, Ushers. Lift your hands. There's the power of heaven right now. Feel right now in Jesus' name. Let it bubble in your belly right now. Rivers of living water. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Step in the aisle, sister. There's an anointing for you. Father, let healing power touch you right now in Jesus' name. That's it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No, don't point. You're pointing to her. Okay. I looked at him and he pointed at you. But there you go. He just dobbed you in. Lift your hands to Jesus. Close your eyes. What's your name? Emily. Close your eyes, Emily. Spirit of God's going to come on you. In the name of Jesus, Father, touch her with power from heaven. Father, I loose that anointing. I loose that anointing. You've never ever prayed a prayer that God hasn't heard. You've never prayed one that God didn't hear. You watch and be amazed at the goodness of God. Even in the next 6 months, I see the blessing of God overshadowing you in a fresh way by the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your anointing right across the house. Just let the river flow. Let his anointing flow in the name of Jesus.
Till I overflow.
Thank you, Lord.
I wanna run over.
Jesus, come on, let's lift our hands.
I wanna run over. Fill me up.
Fill us up, Jesus.
Till I overflow. I wanna run over. I wanna run over. Fill me up.
Fill me up. Fill me up.
Till
right across the house. I know there's people watching online and and people in the room. I just wonder if there's any people in the room tonight, you need a physical miracle in your body. You need God to heal you. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're dealing with, but how many know the answer is always the same as King Jesus? I'm believing the great physicians in this house is going to touch people. Right across the room, if you need a miracle from God, just lift your hands to heaven. There's a lot of hands going up right across the building. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, according to your word, let the healing power of God fill this place. Lord God, I just come against sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. We command it to go right now. Lord, let miracles happen. Let prayers be answered. Father, let supernatural power touch people. Lord, we speak to sickness and disease and we bind it right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we're asking, let cancer be healed tonight. Let arthritis be healed tonight. Lord God, let sickness be healed. Let it go in Jesus' name. Let healing power come upon your people tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord, people walk in one way. May they leave well in the name of Jesus. May they leave whole in the name of Jesus. May they leave set free by the power of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a big shout. Give him a big shout. I'm gonna hand right back, but I just wonder, just at the close of the night, you just never know who's come into service. I know it's Wednesday night, but I just feel in my heart that there might be people here. You've never ever made a decision for Jesus. You've never given your life to Christ. Maybe you're here, a friend brought you. Maybe you came to come to youth group, but you've ended up in big church. But I don't know how you came to be here, but it's not a mistake. It's not an accident. Jesus Christ died that you and I could have life and life more abundant. You know, we're going to breathe our last on earth and breathe our next in eternity. I remember when Billy Graham stepped into eternity, there was a thing that went around on the internet that said, one day you'll hear that Billy Graham has died. Don't believe a word of it. I'm more alive than ever. I've simply changed address. But maybe you're here and you've never ever given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never known the joy of your sins forgiven. You don't know what it is to live saved by the grace of God, knowing that you're on your way to heaven, that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. Maybe you're here tonight, maybe a friend brought you, maybe you came back to church and you haven't been living the way you should. Maybe you've never invited Jesus into your heart, or maybe you did once walk with him, but sin's crept in. There's distance between you and God. I tell our church every Sunday, if you draw near to God, the Bible says he'll draw near to you. If you take one step, he'll take 10,000. You might be here and you're lost. I just wonder if right across the house you could bow your heads in prayer. Excuse me for one moment. If you'd say, David, I need Jesus. I need to get saved. I need to get my life right with God. I don't want to embarrass you, but I want to pray for you. Who's that person tonight that would say, that's me? Would you quickly slip up your hand so I can see who you are? Right across the house. Is there any person tonight that would say, David, pray for me. I need to find Jesus. Right across the room, if it's you, just wave it high so I can see who you are. Jesus is going to set you free. He's going to give you a new beginning. There's a hand over there. Is there anybody else that would say, David, pray for me. I need Jesus. Quickly, just lift your hand high so I can see who you are. Are there others tonight that would say, pray for me, David? It's a bit hard to see. There's a hand over there. Maybe I'll go upstairs. The ushers can help me a little bit. Are there others tonight that would say, David, pray for me. I need Jesus. Right across the room. That's amazing. Fantastic. Are there others that would say, pray for me. I need Jesus. Right across the house. I see a hand over there. God bless you. You can put it down. Is there anybody else that would say, David, pray for me? Awesome. Hands going up right across the room. If that's you and you lifted your hand, it's a bit hard to sort of see everybody, but if you lifted your hand, can I ask you to do one thing? I want you to pray a prayer with me. It's a prayer if you haven't come forward. If you lifted your hand, I'd love you to step out of your seat and just come to the front and I'll pray with you. But before you do, it's just a bit hard to see hands. I know hands were going up and I was down on the floor, so I couldn't see too well. But if you're sitting next to someone, why don't you just quickly say to them, hey, if you want to go forward, I'll bring you to the front. Because there were hands that went up. There were hands that went up all over the house. Just ask your neighbor. You might be a spouse or a friend, but just say to them, if that's you, I'll bring you forward and bring them to the front right across the house. Can we sing something as they come? Just come. If that's you, just come. Just come to the front. We'll give you a hand as you come.
Lord, I surrender all.
We'll give you a minute to come.
To be my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Come on, let's sing one. one more time, I surrender all.
I surrender.
Just come. If you lifted your hand, please come. Please come.
I surrender.
Thank you, Lord, all to thee.
All to thee, my blessed.
Come on, lift your hands and sing it tonight. Come on, one more time. Let's really sing. Father, we love you, we worship you. I'm so proud of you. You just come to the front like a champion. Oh, you are just amazing. What's your... Yeah, there. You're the highlight of the night for everyone. That's why we all got together. Sorry, you're by yourself. What's your name? Jeremiah. Hand of God's on you, Jeremiah. I'm going to pray a prayer. You know, I grew up, we always called it the sinner's prayer, you know. But in my church, we changed the name to the beginner's prayer because you're beginning a life of faith and serving Jesus. We're so, so proud of you. Everyone in this room is like pumped tonight. They're going to order double at Buffalo Wild Wings because of this. I'd love you to close your eyes. I'm going to pray a prayer. If you repeat it after me, I'm going to ask the whole church to do it as well. We'll be all in this together. Because there was a few people that put their hands up, but they didn't quite make it down the front. But I still want them to pray as well and believe God. I'm so proud of you. You've just made my day. This is the best. Let's all stretch our hands to God right across the house. Let's pray this together. Dear God in heaven, I come to you tonight. In Jesus' name, sorry for my sin, for the things I've done, and for the way I've lived. Please forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. Give me a new beginning and a brand new start. Right now, Lord Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you for rising again for me. And thank you that you're coming back again. And from this moment, I am washed, I'm cleansed, I'm forgiven, I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm saved by the grace of God in Jesus' name. You know, the Bible says all of heaven rejoices when somebody comes home. They're going crazy in heaven. Can we give God a shout of praise? Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. Come on, let's just worship the Lord. Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Amen, 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 man. Bless you. Praise the Lord, everybody. Y'all may be seated. You know, we need to keep that fire, the Holy Spirit, going all the time, everywhere, anytime. Thank you, Jesus.